Blog Talk Radio.
I almost went back to the 80s there for just a moment. Good evening. Welcome to Eerie House Radio. I'm Dale Kay from Spook Show, here along with...
Danny Meekly from Witness Really Bad Movie and Spaceship One.
And we're here along with... ourselves, once
with,
again.
Right here.
And the goat.
Yeah.
You're never alone with a goat. You're never really alone when you have a goat.
Especially a screaming goat.
Yes. What would we do without our goat?
Yep. Because we wouldn't want to get Dale's goat, so, you know, we're trying to get the goat's goat.
Yes, because everybody knows what a taskmaster I am. Wow. Wow, I couldn't believe I got hit with that. And not by Dave, folks. Not by Dave. The missus was teasing me. Called me a taskmaster in the field of blog radio. I feel horrible. I feel horrible about myself.
Oh, I don't.
As we all should. As we look back on our lives, we should all feel bad, yes.
Yes.
And ashamed, and all the little things that come with it.
But we keep going on anyway.
Yeah, I didn't say it's a stop us. I just said, oh, what the heck.
We don't know where Fog Spinning is. Good old Bob, we don't know. He's in the chat there live with us, but I bet he's on his way. You know.
I'm sure he is. Maybe he's having a hard time breaking into... Yep. Could be he's having a hard time breaking into the room. Oh, there he is.
I thought I was the taskmaster. Good old Bob's hitting it hard, man.
He is. Yeah. I expect he's going to dress him down in the thing for coming in a minute late.
That's right.
But if he uses bad science, perhaps he can go back about 20 minutes and get in there early instead.
Yes, I hope you have a note. No, because I've been... I mentioned to the missus next weekend, gang. Next weekend, we're doing Saturday and Sunday. Dave's doing something personal. Okay, cool. And I'm like, yeah, let's do that. Fine, I don't care. We'll do Saturday, Sunday. So I mentioned it to the missus, and she's like, that poor man. I go, what do you mean? You're making him come to work on Sunday. I go, work? I'm not paying him. We're partners anyway, you know? What the hell? And she just let me have it. She was teasing me royal. That's how she is.
She's just... beating up on you.
Yep.
Keeps
funny
us on
gal.
Our toes, Dale.
Yeah, she's
keeps
funny
us on
gal.
Our toes.
Weird sense of humor. Which, gee, I don't know anybody else that fits that description.
The only one that calls me a poor man is the guy who fills out my tax forms for me. He's the one that calls me a poor man.
Oh, you poor man.
And rightly so.
Yeah, who would know better than your tax man, right?
I am telling you.
In some cases, he may be the reason. But... We are here on time, barely on time, doesn't matter. We are here for two more shows about bad science.
Yes. And one is even about good science that goes bad only because of bad things that happen with the good science. Does that make sense to you?
We'll find out after the program. Not yet.
I was wondering how they said to you. I'm lost.
Yeah, not yet it doesn't, but it might as we go along.
I'm lost, so I'm just hoping you'd explain to me what the heck I just said. Yeah.
I don't know. And regarding things that need explaining sometimes, I remember, and I think I understood it fairly well when the first time I saw it, I went all on my own to a movie theater, It was a rerun at the time. Going through the theaters a second time, I saw 2001 A Space Odyssey, I want to say in about 1971, 72. So, you know, it was a 1968 movie. And there's a good movie about sometimes science going bad when hell flipped out.
Yeah. Yep.
Another good one. The obvious, The Terminator.
I didn't catch it until it was later on television. That's when I caught it.
Yeah. I went right to the front of the theater. I had to see it with the big wide screen. With the spaceships. Same thing when I saw
it for 3 days. Yeah.
I didn't care. It was worth it. did the same thing when Star Wars came out. Had to be in the front row. Yeah, I had to be in the front row and just get the huge widescreen. I wanted to feel like I was in space.
Well, that's when they had that THX surround sound theater stuff. That was just coming out then.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Good tale of science gone wrong, though. That's for sure. And we got two good ones for you tonight.
We do.
Yeah. A little Theater 5 and a Lights Out.
Yes. Arch Oblin will not let us down with some science gone bad today. And then Theater 5, again, that's the one where it's good science, which was good but was bad. So all kinds of trouble came from good science, which made it bad.
Yeah, you're making my head.
I'm confused again.
You're making my head hurt again. Yeah.
But yeah,
it's like the conundrums of time travel. Where shall we begin with our bad science?
Well, you know what? Why don't we get the confusion out of the way? Why don't we start with Theater 5 and head up to our Arch Obler story after that?
We could do that. A more contemporary story, Theater 5.
Yep.
This one was originally broadcast way, way back.
September 24th of 1960. And for...
Ladies and gentlemen, I have an important announcement to make about a wonderful new discovery.
We'll never get away with it, see? Unless you stop your work, you're marked for murder.
They're all against me. But you've got to listen. You've got to listen to me.
Theater 5 presents The Evil That Men Do.
Mr. Mayor and members of the Yorkport City Council, the evil that men do lives after them in the form of ever higher taxes and human misery. 40% of last year's budget was spent on law enforcement and social agencies for the prevention and control of crime. Unnecessary. I tell you that I can wipe out crime tomorrow.
That's ridiculous. Mr. Mayor, why waste the council?
Mr. Mayor, let me defend myself. Gentlemen, listen to me, please.
Go ahead, doctor, but make it fast.
All right. 5 years ago, I started experimenting in my laboratory at the university with a new group of tranquilizers. One in particular seemed promising. I called it Benefactrol. After the usual laboratory and animal tests, I performed some carefully controlled experiments at Wilson Youth House and also at the Chester Street Jail. The results were remarkable. Benefactrol immediately controlled and destroyed every antisocial impulse, every tendency towards crime, for a period of 48 hours. It happens before your very eyes.
I don't believe it.
Gentlemen, it's true. Crime could be wiped out completely by adding Benefactrol in minute quantities to the city water supply. Anyone who drinks a cup of coffee, a plate of soup, or a lemonade, any liquid containing city water, will instantly be free of criminal tendencies for 2 whole days.
You have to prove it, doctor.
I will accept that challenge. Guard, bring in the prisoner. Now, Mr. Mayor, the man who's being brought in is an inmate of Chester Street Jail. He's had 5 arrests, 4 convictions, all crimes of violence. He's...
Put your hands over your lousy face. You can't force me in there. Get...
city. I'm going to get you for this. You'll see.
Hello, George. I'm Dr. Alexander Kieran.
For what?
I won't keep you here long. All I want you to do is drink one glass of water.
What's in it?
Nothing that will hurt you.
$5 and you got yourself a deal.
All right, $5. Here. Now, drink the water.
It tastes okay. I can do for you, Doc?
No, that's all.
Here, Doc. Take your $5 back. I didn't really earn it.
No, it's yours.
Oh, no, I feel funny taking it. It'd be stealing. That's not right.
All right, guard, you can loosen that handcuff.
Oh, thanks. And, sir, I'm sorry I caused you any trouble before. Oh, you better take your watch back. I'm ashamed to say I snatched it from you as you brought me in. Yeah, I apologize.
Oh, Alex?
Nancy.
Oh, darling. Oh, Nancy, that was wonderful news.
Oh, darling, I'm so happy for you. The demonstration went well.
It couldn't have gone better. The mayor and council backed me all the way. Oh. I have complete authorization to treat all city water with Benefactrol and enough funds for a one-year tryout to build a pilot plant to manufacture it.
For just 1 year?
Well, Nancy, that's all I need. If I can keep Yorkport free of crime for 1 year with Benefactrol, you will witness the beginning of a moral revolution which will sweep the world.
Well, if I'm alive to witness it.
Alive?
Well, don't you see, Alex, that you're upsetting the balance of nature just as other scientists did when they killed off so many insects that the birds died?
Honey, I thought you believed in Benefactrol. I thought you'd be proud and happy that it was being recognized.
Well, I'm proud of you, Alex, and I'm happy for you, but Look, I've always thought that people could only better themselves by dedication, not medication. I hope I'm wrong, dear. With all my heart, Alex, I hope I'm wrong. But I'll get it, dear. You must be tired.
Where's that four-eyed squirt who's making trouble for me?
Who are you? And what's the meaning of that gun?
My name is John Corriff, and the gun means business, lady. Out of my way. I want to talk to your husband.
Put your gun away. And I'll let you talk to him.
What's the matter? You ain't never heard of me?
I've heard of Big John Corriff. But I'm not afraid of you, and neither is my husband. Now put your gun away and come in.
Okay. Okay. That's all I wanted.
Alex? This is John Corriff.
Corriff? Corriff?
Big John. The gangster.
Hey, I don't like the way you said that, lady. The newspapers generally call me the head of the Yorkport Crime Syndicate, which is more classy. And which is why I am here, Doc. Anything that isn't strictly legit in this town, I get a cut of it. And I expect to continue, Dr. Kieran, without you butting into it.
Oh, I haven't done anything to you, Mr. Corriff.
And you ain't gonna. But you take my boys and make them go straight with that dope of yours, and I won't have any rackets left and nobody to run them.
Oh, I see. You know, I didn't realize that I'd be hurting anybody, but I'm perfectly willing to hear your point of view. Nancy, fix us a drink, would you please?
Of course.
You'll join me, won't you?
Okay, Doc. Scotch and water.
The special scotch for Mr. Corriff, dear.
Well, thanks. You're the right guy, Doc.
Well, I take that as a compliment.
But that don't mean I'm going to go easy on you. Some of my best friends, they get taken care of, you know what I mean? And this idea, yours, Doc, just ain't going to go through.
Well, the city council has given me...
I know, but I'll give you 50 grand to forget the formula. And a bullet in your back if you don't.
Well,
thanks for the drink, Mrs.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, dear.
Well, here's mud in your eye. Hey, that's good scotch. Now, look, Doc... You think about what I said.
Yes, yes, I'm thinking. 50,000?
Make it 100. Wait a minute, I can't do that. That's bribery. I know what I was thinking of. Not to speak of a bullet. That's murder.
Yes, I've heard.
You know, Alex, When you really think about it, crime don't pay. A lot of heartache, that's all.
You really feel that way, John?
100%. You know, Alex, I think I'm going to resign from the Mafia. I find myself in fundamental disagreement with its purposes and policies.
Nancy, listen to this. Despite delays and difficulties in getting Dr. Kieran's water treatment plant into operation, the crime rate in Yorkport has dropped drastically due to the disorganization of the crime syndicate formerly headed by Big John Corrus.
But the name still frightens me. When I opened the door and saw that...
That's over, dear. Now he's my friend and biggest supporter.
Well, I hope he stays friendly.
Don't worry. I'll see to it that he does. Every 48 hours, I give him a dose of Benefactril. He knows that he needs it.
Well, suppose he were sick and couldn't come, or just out of the city. Alex, you're leaning on such a slender reed.
Now, Nancy, don't start that again, please. Look, to everybody but my wife, I'm a hero.
Oh, Alex.
Well, it's true. There's a delegation coming to see me in a few minutes just to congratulate me. Chief of Police Roberts and Jim Rutgers, some big businessman.
Just to congratulate you?
Well, I suppose so. They didn't say, but, you know.
Oh,
well, that must be them. Will you show them in there?
Certainly.
Well, good afternoon, Chief Roberts. Good afternoon, Mr. Rutgers. Have a seat. Well, Chief Roberts, I guess I'm making your work a lot easier these days. Huh?
You're making my work easier, but my life harder.
I beg your pardon?
Doctor, I'm John Rutgers, president of the Rutgers Lock Company. You know, the trouble with you scientists is that you don't think things through.
I'm afraid I don't understand what...
I'll level with you, Doctor. We represent hundreds of people. You may not know it, but you're trying to ruin us. And we're not going to let you.
Ruin you? I think very highly of you.
My lock company employs a lot of people here in your ports. If you put us out of business, you'll upset the economy. I've spent 25 years in police work. I'm a highly trained man, but trained only for crime detection. I'm a dedicated servant of the community. I won't take this lying down.
Now, we're not talking just for ourselves. And we warn you that we're not going to stand for this.
Oh, wait a minute. Are you threatening me?
Take it any way you like. But if you don't listen to us, some of the boys from Big John's old organization may call on you.
Look, I'm not going to be blackmailed. I'll take this to the public. I'll take my case to the citizens through the newspapers.
You're being naive, Kieran. The newspapers need stories about robberies, assaults, and crimes of passion. If they helped you eliminate crime completely, they'd be cutting their own throats. And that's a crime.
You trying to tell me that the newspapers, that responsible citizens want crime?
It's not as simple as that, Kieran. You're upsetting the balance of nature.
Oh, yes, I've heard that before.
We're not threatening you, but...
But if you don't stop, somebody, I don't know who, but somebody... is going to make you a dead duck.
Get your Benefactil now.
Quack, 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 quack.
Yeah.
That's for the dead duck.
Quack, quack. Yes. Quack, quack, quack. Quack, quack. That's a pretty quack, noisy quack, dead quack. Duck.
Well, yeah. Some ducks are deader than others. Some are dead in the water, and some are dead on arrival.
And some of them come down from the ceiling when you say the magic word.
They do. Yeah. You know, interesting to hear how this guy invents this thing that's going to just about obliterate crime. And that's the only thing it does. I mean, and all these people, not just criminals, but policemen and other people that are in risk of losing their livelihood because of no crime.
Jeez. The world's a complex place. But, you know, it's funny and sad, but there's almost truth to that.
Yeah.
Concept.
Yeah.
It's an interesting storyline.
So is this science gone good or good science gone bad? I think this is good science gone bad. Only because of the reaction to it.
Yeah, we're going to have to see how this plays out, because this is a...
Yeah.
interesting wrinkle on crime.
Mm-hmm. It's something I'd never thought about, really, before the show. I mean, the closest thing when we did the one about the X-1 where somebody was coming to inspect them and they had to have a town criminal because they hadn't had any crime in so many hundred years and stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you got to go have a crime now. What?
Yeah. Well, you got to be the vicious criminal because we don't have a vicious criminal. Well, I don't want to be a vicious criminal. Look, you're the only one available to be a vicious criminal. So you got to be the vicious criminal. Oh, that was a good story. It's amazing.
You shut up
one
and play
another
the
one
role.
Amazing. Yeah. 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 So many cool stories coming out of X-1. And interesting one coming out of this one of Theater 5.
That's right. We might as well wrap Theater 5 up with the evil that men do or don't.
Tonight.
Alex, please give it up. Don't try to reform the world. It isn't ready.
Nancy, I can't surrender.
You've got to. Now, don't you see, 5 minutes after you came home from the council meeting, the mayor and his political henchmen sent their first emissary.
I don't follow you.
Well, then you must be blind, Alex. Now, how else would Big John Corth know about a secret meeting of the city council so soon? Oh, Alex, darling, please, give up the whole benefactor project.
Nancy, I can't and I won't.
Well, then you'll need help from someone who understands the use of force. Now, when will John Corth report here again?
Well, he should be here this afternoon. His 48-hour dosage period ends tonight.
Well, when he comes, now, darling, speak to him. He's your friend and ally. He's got to help you. Because you need help.
Oh, good afternoon, John. I was wondering if you'd forgotten.
I got to apologize for being late, Alex. But you see, I'm taking this here course in flower arranging at the Y.
Oh, I wish my problems were made of flowers.
Hey, what's bugging you, Alex?
Look, John, a delegation visited me representing everyone in Yorkport who makes a living out of crime.
My old gang?
Well, they're in on it, but the leaders are the chief of police and Rutgers, the lock manufacturer. And they say that they have the backing of everyone who has a financial stake in the commission prevention of the fear of crime. They demand that I forget all about the benefactoral project or threaten me with murder.
Murder? That's not nice. Not nice at all.
John, I need your help. I don't know how to deal with this, but you've lived in a world of force and violence.
Don't remind me.
I need that kind of experience to deal with the threats to my life.
Not so fast, my dear friend. That murder, like I said, that's a bad thing. But isn't it much worse if we take the law into our own hands?
I'm not taking the law into my own hands. I'm just asking you to help protect me from this conspiracy.
Well, I don't see how I could. Naturally, I threw away my rods, you know, my guns, because I didn't have no license. I couldn't even protect myself from a fly bite. But I keep thinking, if only we could make all those guys, the police chief and all, as nice as me, they wouldn't think of bumping you off.
John! That's it. I should have thought of it before. Look, we're not going to wait for the water treatment plant to be finished. Tonight, you and I are going to take some barrels of benefactoral and dump them in the city reservoir.
But it's against the law to dump things in the water. I think your plan is illegal.
No, John, it isn't. We'll just be doing it earlier than planned. It's perfectly legal. Look, will you help me?
Well, if you put it that way, sure, why not? I'd be glad to.
Great. Now, here's what I want you to do. You go right away and hire a truck.
Yeah, sure.
Now, don't tell anyone what you need it for. Then, at 11 o'clock tonight, you come here.
Okay.
We load the truck, take it to the reservoir, and by tomorrow, there won't be anyone in town who'll have the slightest impulse to commit any crime of violence against me.
Doc, that's a great idea. I'd better get going.
Yeah, the faster the better. But remember, John, don't raise anyone's suspicions. Stay out of sight until 11.
11 on the button. I'll be seeing you.
I'll be here. Thanks. So long. Nancy, come here quick.
What is it, Alex?
Everything's all fixed. There isn't going to be any trouble.
Oh, wonderful.
By tomorrow, the danger will be totally gone.
By tomorrow? How come by tomorrow?
Well, tonight, we're treating the water in the reservoir with benefactoral.
We? You mean you and me? I'd like to help you, but...
No, John Corriff and me. John promised he'd be here at 11 tonight.
Oh. You mean you spoke to him when he came in for a dose of Benefactor?
Nancy. He forgot it.
He what?
Oh, we were talking about the threat to my life, and he forgot it. We both forgot it.
And how long will his prison dose be effective?
I don't know, till 6 o'clock, 7 at the latest.
Oh, Alex, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Darling, I don't know where he can be. I've called everywhere.
I think he'll be here.
Well, maybe, but in what condition?
Now we'll see.
Alex, be careful.
Hi, Doc. Well, here I am, just like I said.
Oh, John, we were worried about you. You forgot to get your dose of Benefactor.
Alex and I were afraid that you might have changed back to the way you were.
Never gave it a thought.
Yeah. Well, you'd better have some Benefactor before we forget.
Doc, I don't need it. I think I'm changed permanent.
Well, take it anyway, John, just to be sure.
I tell you, Doc, I don't need it. Now, come on now. We got things to do. I got the truck out in the laboratory. We'll pile the stuff on and get out to the reservoir.
And Nancy, you see, there was nothing to worry about. Come on, let's go, John. A couple of 100 yards further, John, then turn right.
I get it. Say, Doc, how long will this load of stuff, you know, the Benefactor old keep you up or doped up?
Doped up?
Well, you know what I mean. Fixed. So that nobody will do anything violent.
Oh, about 4 months, I figure, if they keep on drinking this water. That gives us a chance to get the regular treatment system in operation.
This gives us a bigger chance than that, Alex.
Much bigger than that.
Now, listen to me. All my life, I wanted to have a city just laid out for me. A model city. Model for crime, that is. Now, thanks to you, I got it.
I don't understand you.
I'll spell it out. All you and me have to do is stay away from that water. Then everybody else reforms. And we pick all the meat off the bones and blow the town.
John, look, you're not thinking of committing a crime. Why, I thought...
That I'd gone straight permanent? That you were still playing me for a patsy? I get it. Nobody does that to Big John. Not for long. But you go along with me, Doc. And I'll cut you in for a piece of the take. And if I refuse? Refuse? Wouldn't make no sense. I got all the Benefactor I need right here in the truck. And I also got a gun. A brand new gun. So, here we are, Doc Kieran. Just you and me. The beginning of a great partnership or the end of the road. You choose.
No. I won't let my word be perverted. You'll have to shoot me.
Doc, it wouldn't be the first time I've had to knock off a friend. Okay. Out and walk.
All right,
Corriff.
This is Chief
Roberts.
Drop the gun. We have you covered on all sides.
You heard the chief, John. You better drop the gun.
All right. I'll shoot.
Okay, boys, move in and grab him. Mrs. Kieran, you can come out now.
Nancy. Darling, you're all right. I had to call the police.
You mean you knew that Corriff was faking tonight?
Well, I didn't know, dear. Not for sure, but I know that when you try to interfere with the evil that men do, you're looking for trouble. And I wouldn't trade my husband for a city full of angels.
Evil That Men Do, written by Raphael David Blau and directed directed by Harry Nelson. In the cast, Ian Martin, Jan Miner, Jackson Beck, Fort Benson, and George Petrie. Audio engineer, Marty Folia. Sound technician, Ed Blaney. Script editor, Jack C. Wilson. Original music by Alexander Vlastotsenko. Orchestra under the direction of Glenn Osser.
That had to be Jackson Beck. I mean, that voice, absolutely unmistakable.
Yeah.
Thought we were talking to Bluto there for a minute.
Bluto, and he was the professor in the Popeye cartoons, too.
Yes, he was. And here's something else you didn't know. Erie House Radio proudly presents A Garrulous Moral of the Story.
Apologies to Gar. Whether water is good or water is bad, water is best when mixed into goofy grape. There you go.
Yes, it was all about dreams.
I love goofy grape. Goofy grape was my favorite of the funny face drink.
Yeah, the cherry was pretty good.
Oh, yeah, choo-choo cherry.
Choo-choo cherry, yeah. But, those two are my favorites.
Which was previously
my dad usually cheaped out and bought. He didn't buy that very often, unless it was on sale, and he didn't get the Kool-Aid. We ended up with this Flavor-Aid crap. It was terrible.
Flavor-Aid.
It was absolutely terrible. Flavor-Aid. Oh, my goodness. It was all. Yeah. It was like, I mean, let's face it, what was that? Kool-Aid was what, about 8 cents a packet? Come on.
Oh, I know. It was not expensive. Kool-Aid. Oh, yeah. Crashing through the walls.
Breaking through the walls. Yep.
Crashing through the walls. Yeah, Jelly Olly Orange was pretty good, too. We didn't get them until after they changed. They had to change a couple names because they were...
Yeah, they did.
They were politically incorrect.
Yeah, those are the better flavors, though.
I don't know. I don't know. I just know that I miss Funny Face. Funny Face was good.
Anything was better. Anything was better than Flavor-Aid, let me tell you.
Yeah, or Tangwiches.
What's up? What was that one?
Tangwiches. Making a sandwich out of Tang. Yeah, making a sandwich out of Tang.
A sandwich out of Tang. No, yeah. I can't say I've ever done that.
Oh, yeah, Tangwiches. The Bundys had that often.
Oh, did they?
Yes, Tangwiches.
Probably the only food they had in the house, yeah.
Yes, pretty much. So they were lucky.
Oh, my.
I like to confound the young people at work. There's this group chat in our work group. So on the first day of June, I put up a picture of June Lockhart, and somebody goes, is that June Cleaver? I'm like, no, that's June Lockhart, who was Timmy's mom on Lassie and also Maureen Robinson on the original Lost in Space, you know? I go, best TV Wrong. Mom ever. So somebody posts a picture of Peg Bundy. I'm staying corrected. Best TV mom ever, Peg Bundy.
Yeah.
That's God. That was
the best TV mom? It wasn't June Cleaver, I don't think. It wasn't Mrs. Brady. Who would you say the best TV mom?
I think Timmy's mom, honestly. Those stories
really
tear me up, man. I get tearful sometimes. Those old Lassie stories.
She was a very good
and understanding mom in Lost in Space, too.
She was. Yeah. I because, you know, all June Cleaver did was wear pearls, to dinner and tell her husband to not be too harsh on the boys, you know? Come on.
Yeah. And I guess if you're a hippie, Mrs. Partridge would be the best TV mom. What do you guys think? Good old Bob, Fogsbane? Who are your favorite TV moms?
Ooh,
or
yeah,
even radio or even radio moms?
Yeah, good old Bob brought up Rootin' Tootin' Raspberry. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Oh, Rootin' Tootin' Raspberry was good. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, that was good.
Lefty was Lemon. Good. Lefty Lemon.
The mother from Malcolm in the Middle. Okay. Okay.
Let's see. Who else was a good TV mom?
I'm trying to think. What other great moms?
I know a great TV mom. Probably when you think of her more as a wife, but she was a great mom, was Edith Bunker.
Watchy.
But she was. I mean, she was a great TV mom. She really was, if you think about it.
It could go that way.
She kept Archie at bay, you know what I mean? She understood him and put up with him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, she was one, in my mind, anyway. I liked Edith. I don't know. Who's your favorite TV mom?
Oh, yeah, Elizabeth Montgomery. Yeah.
Yeah.
But not, yeah, I mean, not in Dora, but Samantha, yeah.
Yeah, please, not in Dora.
I mean, because then it was poor Durwood, you know?
Durwood. She always called him that. Just to rattle his cage. She would mispronunciate his name. That was great.
Yeah.
Durwood.
So, yeah, you know what? Brady Bunch mom was okay, but Alice ran the house anyway, so she didn't have much to do.
No, she wasn't really doing the momming. Alice did more of the momming.
Yeah, Alice did more of the momming and his sage advice and all that kind of fun stuff.
Yep.
Except when Dad gave out sage advice, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, the thing with Edith Bunker, her character intrigues me because although they played her as kind of ditzy, that at moments she would have show incredible moments of wisdom. She's a great example of the difference between intelligence and wisdom.
Edith Bunker. Okay.
Think about that.
I will have to think about that.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm done thinking. I'm not sure. Okay.
My head hurts. So while I go get a triple powered aspirin for my aching head, let's move on to Lights Out. Oxychloride X. What a great title. Sounds like another chemical
definitely.
Science going this wrong.
Yep, this is definitely some science going wrong here.
Yep.
And
this original broadcast date was probably back, I'd say,
February 16th of 1943.
That's what I would say.
Ionized Yeast presents Lights Out, Everybody.
Cody goes
later than you think. Lights Out brings you stories of the supernatural and the supernormal, dramatizing the fantasies and the mysteries of the unknown. We tell you this frankly, so if you wish to avoid the excitement and tension of these imaginative plays, we urge you calmly, but sincerely, to turn off your radio now.
This is Arch Obler. Someone has said that the two mainsprings which drive the world are hunger and the will to power. I think we'll all agree about the hunger, but as to the will to power, well, sometimes I think it's not quite as strenuous as that. There are some people in this world who don't want to run anything. They just want to be liked. And that's the mainspring of our story tonight, Oxychloride X. But before we begin, Frank Martin.
Folks, it's a sad fact that today a number of Americans are too nervous and tired out, too thin and run down and cranky to make friends or keep them. If that's how it is with you, listen. Maybe you simply need more vitamin B and iron than you're getting from your food. If so, by all means, try ironized yeast tablets. They're the amazing little easy-to-take tablets that give you both vitamin B and iron. Thousands of men and women who simply needed more of these substances tell us how quickly ironized yeast has helped them gain glorious new pep and strength, new pounds, new popularity. The name is Ironized Yeast Tablets. Make a note of it now. And now, lights out, everybody.
So I says to him, I says, well, sir, I'd like to be obliging, but I really haven't got the time. And he says to me, he says, well, Mr. Jackson, after all, we're making this proposition only to a few outstanding student representatives on the campus. And we do feel that you should be interested in our proposition.
Well, so, what did you say?
Well, I said, mister, I can't be bothered. Just can't be bothered. And I gets in my car and off I goes.
But, Bob, free clothes just for wearing them around the campus.
Listen, Stan, my boy, what I want to be a clothes horse for any old haberdashery? My old pappy's got more money than he knows what to do with. Now, what for, I ask?
Well, I guess you got something there. Mm. Say, who are you going to take to the dance Saturday night?
Haven't made up my mind.
How about that new number over at the Roto House?
No, thank you, brother.
What's the matter?
Well, did you ever take a look at her feet?
No, sir. Never got below her chin.
Hold it. Yeah?
Ray Stewart to see you, Stan.
Yeah. Send him on up.
Ray Stewart? Who's he?
Well, we're still short one pledge, aren't we?
Oh, yeah, I know, but Ray Stewart, who is he?
Oh, I met him over in chemistry. Got a mind like a textbook.
Oh, but who is he? We can't pledge a man just because he's a grind.
Well, we could use a few grinds around here. Exams come around, there's nothing like a few of those brainy boys pull us through.
But who is he? Where's he from? Who's his family? Who's his
father? Hold it. Come on in, Ray.
Oh, thank you.
Well, it was good of you to bother to come over tonight.
It was good of you to ask me.
Oh, not at all. Ray, I want you to meet the president of our house, Bob Jackson. Mr. Jackson, Mr. Stewart.
I'm certainly glad to make your acquaintance. I might as well admit this is the first time I've ever been in a fraternity house.
Really?
Sit down, Ray. Make yourself at home.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Now, tell me, Ray, do you ever go in for any sports back in your prep days?
Oh, no. I never had much time for that sort of thing.
No?
No, I think that sports should be put into their proper place. After all, I'm sure you agree they aren't particularly important.
No? And what, might I ask, is important in your estimation, Mr. Stewart?
Doing things. Being someone.
What?
Doing things man's never done before. Taking the elements and transmuting them into things which never existed until you thought of them. That's important. That's being almost godlike, isn't it?
Mister, how you talk.
Oh, I'm sorry. I get sort of carried away.
Yeah. Well, that's all right. Bob, this boy sure knows his chemistry.
Huh?
Oh, I really don't know so much.
Say, I ought to know better. You pulled me over some tough spots in this course.
I'm very glad to help you whenever I can. If I lived here, I could help you all the time. I could help you too, Mr. Jackson.
If I need help, I know where to get it.
Oh, I didn't mean to
offend
you.
It's all right, Stewart. Now, tell me, you're from around Chicago way, aren't you?
Oh, no, Milwaukee. Lived there for years.
Nah, don't tell me I'm one of those Bruin families.
Oh, no. We're not wealthy people at all. My father runs a small business. It isn't much, but we get along.
Oh.
I don't think money's important anyway if a person's ambitious. Do you, Mr. Jackson?
Oh, no, no. What's money?
You fellas may think this funny, but well, I always thought it's more important what a fella does than what he has. I mean, well, I've always had the feeling that someday, somehow, I'm going to do something really important. Maybe even miraculous.
Well, now, what do you expect to do? Discover the missing link?
Yes, Stuart. What is this miracle you expect to perform?
Well, I don't know exactly. Ever since I've been just a kid, I've been interested in chemistry, and I've had a feeling that someday I'd, well, perform an experiment, mix certain chemicals together, and something would happen that never happened before.
Now you hear that, Stan? A miracle man.
Amazing, my dear Bob. Simply amazing.
I know it sounds silly, but things I dream about always seem to work out.
Well, would you mind telling us the last miracle that worked out?
Well, this.
This? Well, what do you mean?
Well, as long as I can remember, I've always wanted to belong to a fraternity, and here I am. I mean, you invited me.
Just a minute there, fellow. Mr. Stewart, it's been awfully nice of you to come over and visit with us. And someday we'll have you back again. But now we've got some studying to do, so if you don't mind...
Oh, no, no, not at all. It was nice of you to invite me over. Well, good night, fellas.
Good night.
Good night.
Hold this girly crackpot.
Yeah. Did you see the look in his eye when he was talking about miracles?
Yeah. Well, it'll be a miracle if he ever gets back into this house again, I'll tell you that. What in the world ever made you ask him over here?
Well, I didn't know. How was I to know he's a crackpot?
Pledge him to our fraternity. Pledge him to the booby hatch.
Mr. Stewart? If you please, Mr. Stewart.
Oh, yes, Professor?
Mr. Stewart, might I ask if you're anxious to sever your relationship with this university?
No, sir.
Then might I ask why in creation you persist in ignoring my warnings? In this laboratory, you're to perform the experiments given you to perform. Understand? Given you to perform.
Yes, sir.
Then might I ask why you persist in your, shall I call it, original experiments? Perhaps it's your intention to blow up the university. Or just the laboratory.
I'm sorry.
You'll be more than sorry if I find you doing this sort of thing again. Now, take down this apparatus and continue with the work in your textbook.
Yes, sir.
This is my last warning, so bear it in mind.
Oh, hello, Stewart. How about loaning me your notebook for a few hours?
Oh, hello, Jackson. You haven't been to lab much, have you?
No, I haven't, but I can make it up. We've been pretty busy over at the house. Initiations and all that sort of thing.
Yeah. Jackson.
Yeah?
You never invited me back. I thought maybe you forgot.
Oh, well, you know how those things are.
I wrote my mother that I was joining your fraternity.
Well, that was a sap thing to do.
Was it?
Well, we hadn't pledged you. Stan simply invited you over so I could talk to you.
But you said you wanted me to come back.
Oh, now, look here, fella. Don't be stupid about this. We didn't pledge you, so that's that.
And you're not going to pledge me?
Certainly not.
But why?
I don't have to tell you why.
But you've got to tell me.
Oh, quit pawing me, will you? All right, you're asking for it, so here it is. We didn't pledge you because we think you're a crackpot.
A what?
A crackpot. You talk about miracles. You spend every minute of your time here in the lab monkeying around with things you don't know anything about, getting yourself in all kinds of trouble. I'll bet you never had a glass of beer in your life. And if a girl ever looked at you, you'd fall over in a faint.
Then you're not going to pledge me? You're not going
not going to pledge you. So if your mom expects you to be in a fraternity, you better start cooking up one of those miracles, fella. A first-class miracle.
Sleep. It's so late. Sleep. I've got to sleep.
Not gonna pledge you.
That's what he said. Not gonna pledge me. Why do I keep thinking about it? If I could only sleep. Sleep.
We think you're a crackpot.
Oh, I gotta stop thinking about these things. It's not healthy to think what I'm thinking. Crackpot.
Not gonna pledge you.
Crackpot. What's the matter with my head? I'm talking in it over and over and over again. I'm not crazy. I'm not. I'm as good as you are. I'm as good as both of you put together. Stop saying that. Stop saying it. I'll show you. I'll show you both. I'm better than you are. I'm better than anybody. I'll show you. I'll show you. I'll show you. Talk about miracles. I'll give you miracles. The lab. I've got to get into it. I'll give you miracles. It's dark in there. I've got to get in. Oh, blasted door. Gotta get in. Window. I'll show you. It's so dark in here. Gotta find a lab table. Gotta make a miracle.
Who's there? Who's there, I say?
Watchman.
Come on now. Who's there? Talk up.
You don't have to get so excited. I'm a student.
Student, eh? Let's have a look at you.
That flashlight, you're blinding me.
I've got to see who you are, don't I? Yeah, I know you. Seen you on the campus.
I told you I'm a student.
Well, that don't give you no right to be here after hours. How'd you get in here? Oh, broke a window now, did you? Huh?
I didn't break the window.
But I heard the glass.
So did I, and I followed the man in here.
Man, what are you talking about?
Give me your flashlight, and I'll show you.
All right. Here.
Look behind you. No one will stop me. No one. Miracle. Gotta make one. Got to. Got to. Got to. Barium. 5 cc selenium oxychloride. Oh, good, good. You're working out just as I planned.
Who's there? Who's that working there?
Professor.
Oh, it's you, Stewart.
And after all my warnings.
You're just in time, Professor.
Yes, just in time to have you thrown out of the university. What are you doing there? What is this mess of equipment?
It's my miracle.
Miracle? What are you talking about?
My miracle.
Are you insane? Take it apart, all of it, at once.
Listen to it bubbling. A beautiful sound, isn't it, Professor?
Take it apart, I tell you. Empty out the retort.
No. No, I've got to wait.
Are you mad? Turn out the burners. No, all right, I'll turn them off for you.
No. Stay where you are.
Do it. Put down that acid.
I'll smash the bottle on your head if you touch anything on that table.
No, don't throw it. Put the bottle of acid down, Stuart. Please.
My experiment. My miracle. Bubbling and boiling and stewing. It will work, Professor. It's got to work.
But what is it?
I told them I'd create something that no other man has. I told them. And I will, Professor. You hear me? I will.
But what?
A solvent. A solvent more powerful than anything the world has ever known.
What do you mean? What are you talking about?
Listen to it, bubble.
You said solvent. Explain yourself.
Yes, a solvent. A solvent that will dissolve steel like a hot flame.
What do you say?
You heard me say it. A solvent that will dissolve steel faster than a razor cutting through paper. Do you know what that means?
Well, yes.
Run a line of this liquid across a steel girder, and the girder will crumple like a falling tree. Pour some of my solvent into a glass shell and bomb the cities. I tell you, it'll make war too horrible for men to endure.
You crazy boy, you. You know what you're talking about?
I'm talking about that. That liquid there. Listen to it. Listen to it sing.
Why, no such solvent exists. Selenium oxychloride, perhaps, but to do the impossible things you talked about would require a quantity so...
Oh, the beaker. It cracked.
Well, do something. That liquid's flying all over my bench, my laboratory.
The stone of the bench. It's eating through the stone.
Well, stop it.
The liquid. It's eating through the stone bench.
No. No, it can't be.
It's eating through the slate of the floor. The hole's getting bigger and bigger.
Run. Run.
Oh, I've done it. I've created something no other man has done. A solvent that dissolves anything. Anything. Anything.
Hey, what happened? What's the matter?
The lamp. I guess it's on fire.
But where's the fire? I can't see anything.
The whole school's out here.
Hey, fellas, what's up?
Nobody seems to know. Something's going wrong in the lab. The firemen won't let us in.
Something burning?
I don't know. Can't get near enough to find out.
Well, I can't see any fire.
There's plenty of smoke, though.
Plenty of excitement. Read about it in tomorrow's paper, I'll bet you. Hey. Listen to that sound.
Yeah, it sounds like water.
Gosh, what is it?
Hey, everybody
what?
Back!
What?
Back!
The building! It's
going to
crash!
Run! Run!
I did it. I did it. A solvent that dissolves anything. Anything.
Ladies and gentlemen, a deep breath is certainly indicated at this moment in our story of young Ray Stewart and his amazing discovery. And in this intermission, before we go back to further developments in tonight's exciting Lights Out story, I wonder how many of you girls are asking yourselves this question tonight. Listen.
Why is everything all wrong for me? Other girls have jobs and do war work too, like I do. But other girls get all the dates and all the fun. All I get is thinner and tireder and more jittery and lonely and miserable by the minute. I certainly need something I haven't got.
Well, miss, maybe it's just more vitamin B and iron. If that's it, I suggest you try ironized yeast tablets.
Oh, I've tried tonic after tonic. None I've taken seem to help me.
But ironized yeast is different. It's a two-way tonic. It gives you both vitamin B and iron. That's why it's been of such amazing benefit to thousands who simply needed more of these substances.
Well, I still don't understand.
Well, here's how the experts explain it. When you don't get enough vitamin B out of your food, you may lose your appetite. You may eat so poorly that you lose weight and lose your pep. Or you may not get all the good out of what you do eat. And when you don't get enough iron from your food, you may be weak and pale and feel only half alive. So if you're short on these substances, for your own sake, start taking ironized yeast tablets right away, tonight. Then see if before long you aren't saying...
I feel wonderful now. Everybody says I look like a million, too, since I gained these good pounds. And talk about dates. Everybody's asking me out nowadays. I wish I'd tried ironized yeast ages ago.
Yeah, I wish she had, too.
Yeah. Well, if you take ironized yeast, will you be able to get through the airport? That's what I want to know.
I had
setting off those alarms?
Yeah, you can have a little fun with the TSA agent.
Mm-hmm. They don't have a good sense of humor. They don't make enough money.
Oh, that's a shame.
Two places, they don't have a sense of humor.
So many inappropriate things you can tell them.
I'm telling you. Yeah. But there's two places you can't. They don't have a sense of humor. One is at the airport, and two is at the bank.
Three is when you're getting your prostate examined.
Ooh.
Yeah. Not a lot of humor there. Well received.
Nope.
Hey, comedy is a defense mechanism for me.
Me too.
How I roll. Yeah. It's how I roll. I probably avoided getting beaten up as a kid too once with just by using sense of humor. And joke your way out of some nasty situations.
Yeah.
Learned that early too. Yeah. So they're bullies.
Ha! Huh. Take that! If you can take it.
That's right. I don't know. It doesn't seem like anybody can take anything anymore. People are so sensitive.
I was often a target of school bullies because I was so short for my age. I've since grown taller, but when I entered Boy Scouts, they called me 0.5 because I was only half the size of any other kid.
0.5.
And they called, yeah, like 0.5, only half there. And, even when I graduated high school, I was only 5'1" when I graduated from high school. It's when I got to college, and maybe it was all the hops that made me grow, but something made me grow.
The hops.
Yeah, I had a lot of hops back then, too.
That's right. He was hopping around.
No, I'm talking about the beer kind of hops.
I know. Yeah. Hopping around from beer stool to beer, bar stool to bar stool.
That's right. Barstool to barstool. That's it.
That's right.
Yeah.
As one should when you're young and dumb.
Yep. Yeah. It is one of those things. What can I say? What can I say? And I don't think there's any women I dated that had iron IDs because, if they needed pep, they didn't have that. Or maybe they were looking for an exit. I don't know. Maybe that's what it was.
It could be.
We're looking for an exit, yeah.
Yeah, we don't know. Women are a mystery. Still trying to figure them out.
Well, that ain't going to happen.
Yeah, I know.
We don't have enough time. We don't have enough time left, Dale.
Well, it's not like that. Once you figure out the rules, they change them.
Well, of course.
Sorry, ladies. It's just how it is. I'm trying to encourage CW to call in to refute this.
Yeah, so she's listening to the work.
Hoping upon hope.
She'll straighten this out. She'll cross off some of my science facts from last night, that's for sure.
They were all fun. It was all fun. Let's wrap up Lights Out. Oxychloride X from 1943.
And now back to Lights Out.
Hey, Chief, look at this.
Huh? What's the matter, Murph? Somebody have sex doublets?
Get a load of this, Chief. Came in over the news wires. Read it.
Additional on Whitmore University. Mysterious cavity on campus growing larger hourly. More followers. Mysterious cavity. Hey, what is this, a dentist advertisement?
Oh, don't you remember, Chief? A couple hours ago, that flash about something eating a hole so big a building fell in it. This is the follow-up. The thing's getting bigger. What do you want to do about it?
Forget it.
What?
Don't you see through a gag when it hits you in the face? Somebody's just having fun on the wires. Ha! Mysterious cavity growing bigger. Well, when it's as big as a hole in your head, that'll be news, Murph. That'll be new.
Anything. It dissolves anything. And I did it. I discovered.
Yes. Hello. What is it? Yes, this is Dr. Whitmore. Who is this? Who? National News Service. Now, look here, my good man. It's 4 o'clock in the morning, and I'm supposed to be resting. My vacation, you know. What? My university. Building collapsed. But are you sure? Yes, yes, I'll call them long distance at once. No, no, I can't give you any sort of statement now. Hang up, man. I've got to get the operator. Operator. Give me long distance. Give me... What? Long distance is calling? Well, put them on. Hello. Yes, this is he. Rogers? Yes, Rogers. What? Did? That's impossible. Larger? But how could it grow larger? Chemicals? Are you drunk, man? Insane? It's impossible.
But you must do something. Something.
Listen, mister. I'm a fireman, not a magician.
But that hole, it's 20 feet wider than it was 10 minutes ago.
Mister, I don't know what it's all about. No fire and the ground's burning right away.
We have $5 million worth of property on this ground. If that hole
spreads...
For
Pete's sake, leave me alone, will you? We've been throwing water on the edges of the thing ever since the building fell in, but it don't do no good. It don't do no good.
Gentlemen, listen to this out of tonight's paper. The latest news on the Whitmore University mystery. What at first was treated lightly by all newspapers as either a hoax or a shifting of earth stratum has now developed into an authentic yet unbelievable situation. The hole, which began at the site of the chemical laboratory building, is now 300 feet in diameter and spreading with unbelievable rapidity. Fire departments and fire experts from all neighboring communities within a radius of 100 miles have been called in, but have been helpless to combat the rapidly spreading pit. Many conflicting theories have been propounded as to the cause of the cave-in, but at last reports nothing definite had been determined.
That's enough, Professor Parker. What about the solvent?
Yes, what about
unbelievable, unexplainable as it is. It is apparently self-regenerating and oxidizing anything it comes in contact with so quickly that we see no fire but only the rapidly growing cavity where the earth is being consumed.
But, Professor Parker, what is this solvent? Surely you don't expect us to believe that this student you were telling us about...
I mean exactly that.
Oh, preposterous. It's a fault in the structure of the earth. There is no such thing as a self-regenerating solvent. Simple cave-in, that's all it is.
That's what I've been thinking all this time.
Gentlemen, if you please, what I know.
Oh, it's preposterous.
Gentlemen, if you please. If my professional reputation is not enough to substantiate what I've said, then at least you'll listen to the boy himself. He's here. Listen to him.
Well, why should we?
Yes, gentlemen, if you'll listen, I'll tell you. You'd better listen to me. Gentlemen, please.
What Professor Parker said is true. It is a solvent. It dissolves anything it touches quickly, furiously. And the byproducts of that dissolution give it new strength and movement. And I discovered it, gentlemen. I
know, but what will happen? What can we do?
We can wait.
Wait? How can we wait? Look out there. The hole's within 2 feet of another building already. You've got to stop it. At once.
Look, you don't... The building.
The foundation's under mine.
It's crashing.
Mother in heaven. Harris Hall. Caved right in the hole.
Professor Parker, you boy, listen. Which chemicals did you use? We've got to fight it with chemicals. Spread them around the edge. Neutralize this solvent.
Yes, yes, that's it. Chemicals. We'll neutralize the reaction.
No, gentlemen. Listen. You may neutralize the reaction at the edges of the hole, but you forget one thing.
What? What are you talking about?
The solvent is eating downward at many times the rate it's eating outward. You may neutralize the reaction at the edges of the hole, but have you forgotten? It's eaten the hole a quarter of a mile deep already. And it's eating into the earth faster and faster. How are you going to stop that?
Faster, faster and faster at an ever-increasing rate, this strange cancer on the surface is eating away. It is now approximately 14 hours since the phenomenon began, and already it has eaten outward a distance approximately 1 mile in diameter with a resulting damage of over 1.5 million in property.
Truly, the most astounding factor in this catastrophe is the fact that the hole is increasing in depth at an unbelievable rate. At our last reports, approximately 10 minutes ago, the pit had reached a depth of approximately 3 miles, and experts apparently refuse to predict how much further this earth cancer will go. What only a handful of hours ago was a quiet section of the country in which stood the Whitmore University is now a great gaping pit in the surface of the earth, out of which rise strange noxious gases as that burning something eats deeper and deeper and deeper into the bowels of the earth. The latest sonic recordings indicate that the shaft has now reached a depth of 11 miles, 2,342 feet. I'm right on the scene and will continue to send reports as quickly as I get them.
Sure is a crowd here.
Yeah, 500,000, they say.
Yeah, watching and waiting. And for what?
Ain't it ever going to stop, Stan?
Don't ask me. I don't know. It's going deeper and deeper every minute. There ain't no stopping it.
Listen to them. Scared, ain't they? Every one of them.
Well, aren't you?
Yeah, sure. That hole going deeper and deeper into the ground and nobody can stop it. And what happens when it gets all the way through, nobody knows. Sure, I'm scared. Scared plenty.
Earthquake. Help. Send help. Volcano erupting. City on fire. Martial law declared.
Tidal waves sweeping inland. Nothing can stop it. Nothing. Nothing. Earthquake.
Fire.
Tidal waves.
World coming to an end.
Judgment of God. Judgment of God.
From Siberia to Cape Town to San Francisco and around the world again. I tell you, the Earth's ripping apart. And I tell you, it's that hole in the ground that's done it. It's affected the rotation of the Earth, unbalanced things.
Yes, and it's biting deeper every minute. What'll happen when it eats through to the other side? The ocean pouring through. We'll die. We'll all die.
Who's to blame? Who's to blame? Who's to blame?
It's that kid who's to blame.
Yeah, we read it in the papers. That crazy college kid.
There he is.
Yes, that's him. That's him.
Well, then, he's to blame.
No, no, let me go, you fools, you. I've done a great thing, a wonderful thing. Created something no one ever thought of. No, let me down. Let me down. Let me down, you fools. I started this album, but I didn't know this would happen. You can't blame me for a miracle.
Throw him in the hole.
No.
Yes, throw him in the hole. He made it.
No, don't throw me down in here. There's no bottom to it. No, no.
Here, put him down here on the grass.
Dan?
Yes.
Boy, oh boy, will this be a sensation on the campus.
But, Watchman, how did it happen?
Well, me, I'm making my rounds of the grounds as usual, and all at once in the moonlight, I see this fellow walking across the grass. So I go up to him, and I see the fellow's walking in his sleep.
In his sleep?
Yeah. And just when I start to grab him, easy-like, he pulls loose, yells something about, don't throw me in, don't throw me in. And then he runs across the campus and dives headfirst down into the swimming pool. And it's empty. When I pull him out, he's like he is now. Busted neck.
Well,
who is he? Anyone recognize him?
Yeah. Yeah, I know him. Stewart's his name. Ray Stewart. Kind of a screwy little crackpot. Always talking about creating miracles with chemicals. I wonder what he thought was happening to him diving down that hole.
Well, Mr. Obler, I suppose all I can say is holy.
We've had quite enough holes tonight. Supposing we talk about haunted houses.
Yeah. Who's haunted houses and where?
Well, it's the most famous haunted house in the world. In fact, in the good psychic circles, it's supposed to be the haunted house where all the ghosts go. I'll tell you about that, Frank, as soon as you talk to our audience.
Well, I just want to remind you folks that if you're nervous and tired, underweight and under par, and if, like so many Americans these days, you only need more vitamin B and iron, then don't wait. Do try ironized yeast tablets right away. They give you both vitamin B and iron. They cost but a few pennies a day, and you don't risk even those few pennies. For ironized yeast tablets are sold on this money-back basis. If you don't quickly begin to eat and sleep better, to gain new pounds, to feel much stronger and peppier, and if you're not convinced that ironized yeast has been of real help, the cost of the first bottle will be refunded to you in full by Ironized Yeast, Box IY, Rahway, New Jersey. But remember, there's only one Ironized Yeast. You'll know it by the big letters IY on the package and on each tablet. And now then, what about the haunted house, Mr. Obler?
Well, it's a rectory about 60 miles from London, just within the Essex border. Ghostly figures of headless coachmen appear in the lawn, and the ghostly figure of a nun walks through the rooms. An old-fashioned coach driven by two headless men gallops across the lawn. No, I'm not more than normally crazy. Fact is, for 10 years, these phenomena have been investigated by various thoroughly reliable and well-intentioned gentlemen, but they say the headless horsemen still ride and the woman still walks through the wood to the back of the house. Well, for next week, I've written a play about that particular house. It's a nice, fresh ghost story. Its title is They Met at Dorset, and it concerns the attempt on the part of one hideous Himmler, head of the German Gestapo, to rescue England's unwilling house guest, Herr Rudolf Hess. Yes, I really think you're going to enjoy They Met at Dorset. But, as usual, that's next week.
Lights Out will come to you again next Tuesday at this same time. Be sure to listen to Arch Obler's amazing story, They Met at Dorset. And if you need more of vitamin B and iron, be sure to try ironized yeast, the one and only ironized yeast, with the big letters IY on the package and on each tablet.
Men, stop a moment and consider. Does your shaving cream vanish into your skin before you've finished shaving? Does one side of your face dry before you can get to it? Well then, why not try Mole brushless shaving cream? Mole stays on your face until you've finished shaving. Its protective film helps guard your face against painful nicks and cuts. Try Mole for a quicker, more comfortable shave. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Man, this is Erie House Radio. That was Lights Out.
Everybody, except you. You don't have to turn your lights out. The rest of them do, though.
I do my best work in the dark. Nyuk, 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 nyuk.
I know, that's why I want you to leave it on.
Oh, God. good call. Probably a wise choice. We got some time to kill, don't we? Oh, first things first. We got something to learn. Yeah. Got something to learn here. Erie House Radio proudly presents a Garless Moral of the Story.
Apologies to Gar. No matter how much science you use, you can't dig your way out of a hole. That's it.
Not stuttering. Erie House Radio probably presents yet another Garless Moral of the Story. When the science goes bad or doesn't work, it's time to try something else.
Now that wasn't so bad, was it?
It was disgusting.
There you go.
It makes sense to me.
I don't know.
It makes sense to me. Sure.
I don't know what that means. I just know that we love old-time radio, and we got some bonus features for you tonight.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Let's say we start with a wheel.
Yeah, let's say we haven't done a wheel in a few weeks.
Yep.
You're closer.
Since CW hasn't made it, let's play something a little... Let's see if it comes up on something a little naughty.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Around and around she goes, and where she stops, nobody knows.
I kind of know.
Now, I would like to say something about pornography, or as we call it in the United States, smut. Wonderful word. Yes. There have been many cases in the American courts recently about this very problem. The United States Supreme Court, for example, has decided that a book or a film can be banned if it arouses the prurient interests of the average person. Now, prurient, I looked that up. It means having itching, morbid, or lewd and lascivious desires. Now, surely that describes all of us here tonight. But I disagree with this principle because I really enjoy having my prurient interests aroused. And in fact, there's only one thing I enjoy more than having them aroused, and that is having them gratified. So, as I say, I'm opposed to this, but we have marches now for peace and marches for civil rights, so I thought I would have a march for smut. Smut! Give me smut and nothing but a dirty novel I can't shut if it's uncut and unsut. So I've never quibbled. If it was ribbled, I would devour where others merely nibbled. As the judge remarked the day that he acquitted my Aunt Hortense, to be smut, it must be utterly without redeeming social importance. Or, no graphic pictures I adore, indecent magazines galore, I like them more if they're hardcore. Bring on the obscene movies, magazines, murals, newspapers, postcards, neckties, samplers, stained glass windows, tattoos, anything. More, more, I'm still not satisfied. Stories of tortures used by debauchers, lurid, licentious, and vile, make me smile. Novels that pander to my taste for candor give me a pleasure sublime. Let's face it, I love slime. All books can be indecent books, though recent books are bolder, for filth, I'm glad to say, is in the mind of the beholder. When correctly viewed, everything is lewd. I can tell you things about Peter Pan and the Wizard of Oz. There's a dirty old man. I thrill to any book like Fanny Hill, and I suppose I always will, if it is swill and really filthy. Who needs a hobby like tennis or philately? I've got a hobby, rereading Lady Chatterley. But now they're trying to take it all away from us unless we take a stand, and hand in hand we fight for freedom of the press. In other words, smut, I love it. Ah, the adventures of a slut. Oh, I'm a market they can't glut. I don't know what compares with smut. Hip, hip, hooray, let's hear it for the Supreme Court. Don't let them take it away.
The man was an absolute genius. Tom Lehrer was absolute wordsmith.
Yep.
Very good.
Yep. How bad for a Harvard math professor, huh?
Oh. Great sense of humor.
I heard his record for years and never really saw a picture of him. Then I started catching him on video, and I was talking to a guy who was kind of doing a play based on some of his music, and he said, it's not anybody that I really would think would write things like this, because he looks like, he says, like, what? He says, what? And I said, things are just like a Harvard professor. I said, yeah. He says, yeah, that's what he looks like. And amazing that this Harvard professor invented the Jell-O shot.
You got to love him.
Yeah. Let me actually pull up. There's a story on that.
The devil, you say?
Yeah. There we go. Let me see. I know it's right here. Okay. Of all of the things in mathematics and teaching and all that, and the songwriting and the song performing, and what the heck? Where did it go? What the heck? Where did it go? There it is. Let's see. Musical recordings. Come on. You got to have this. I was here. Fine. All right. Well, I'll have to find that during another break here, but it does have it, and it's just going to take a wee bit of searching.
And while he's searching, Let's have this promotional announcement.
Too bad about radio.
Oh, what do you mean?
Well, since television, you know, hardly anybody listens to radio anymore.
Oh, I wouldn't worry about that if I were you. There's a radio in use for every man, woman, and teenager in America.
Really? Gee, I'd hate to think of them all turning them on at once.
They do. Every morning.
Who listens to radio? That go where you go medium called radio. That's with you every night through the long commuter fight. And in the morning with your toast and mama radio. Who listens to radio? Summer, winter, spring, or fall. Who listens to radio? Only 150 million people. That's all.
Okay, good break. I found it, but this is a very abbreviated version. Here it says Tom Lehrer was drafted in the U.S. Army from 1955 to 1957. Working at the National Security Agency, the NSA. Now, Lehrer had stated that he invented the Jell-O shot during this time as a means of circumventing the naval base's ban on alcoholic beverages. So they weren't allowed to have alcohol on base. And he worked using a variety of different things to sneak alcohol in. Well, he snuck it in on Jell-O. And that's how the Jell-O shot, how he invented the Jell-O shot and got alcohol into the base. Where alcohol was not allowed.
The Jell-O shot was born.
Yep, that's maybe that's where the idea for the reefer brownies came from. Who knows, but anyway.
Yeah, I'm sure some kind of underhanded activities. Those rascally youths.
Yep.
Whatever Ute. Will we do
the
with
Ute.
Them. The youths. And the youths like the music, youth. So do we. Let's shove a couple coins in the jukebox here. We got enough time. There we go.
Okay.
Now let's go to the other extreme, a beautiful new ballad called Somewhere, Sometime, written by George Doonan of our organization, and to be sung by Harry and the whole group. Let's listen.
Somewhere, sometime, I'll come back to you. Somewhere, sometime, when the sun shines through, we'll find peace and joy, dear. When these dark clouds roll by, until then, remember the dream we shared, just you and I, somewhere, sometime, though the day. the days seem years. Although I must leave you, our love will keep me true.
And 35 seconds, you can get on over to the Twitches and listen to Horrible Horror starring Gar the Ghoul with a brand
What's
new
What's happening
repeat.
Next week on Eerie House, Dale?
Oh, too many chefs spoil the Eerie House. That's right. Shows of cookery, I guess. Hey, maybe we'll get Cowboy Kent Rollins to come on. No. Suspense, My Friend Irma, and Let George Do It. Okay. And then One Last Meal with CBS Radio Mystery Theater on Saturday. Now, that, I'm sorry,
on
excuse
Sunday.
Me, that's on Sunday. Because that's
yeah.
Next weekend. It'll be Saturday and Sunday. So Suspense, Irma, and George are Saturday night and CBS Radio Mystery Theater on Sunday night. And hopefully Gar will be healed up at least well enough to drop by and say hello. We miss you terribly, good buddy. It's getting frustrating, I am sure, beyond our ability to express. But, you know, we'll see you soon. And thank you, folks, for listening live. Where is my friend Vincent hiding?
The castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him. When next we meet in Frankenstone.
Don't come alone.
Don't come alone.
Spoiler.
I'll try.
Can you dig it?
Oh, my timing was terribly off.
Well, we had to give the day change. Sorry about that.
Yeah, that's all right. I should have budgeted better the time.
Interesting story that lights out. Arch Obler just has such a unique perspective of things.
Yeah, it made his stories very, very effective. He had different ways of looking at things, I think, that he could express in radio and in film.
Yeah, but there's so many of them, like Rod Serling, so many of them involved everyday people who just got thrown into extraordinary circumstances.
Yep. And that's why I think they're relatable, is because they are like everyday people. So his stories and his characters are very relatable.
And even though science has changed and such, his stories still work today, I think.
Certainly the concepts do.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about cautionary things, and there's some of those things we're looking at hard now as they become closer to reality, such as, you know, AI and other types of technologies that we should be very cautious about. You know, I don't want to be frantic and run around, no, we can't do this, we can't do this, but at the same time, we can't run in with our heads
right
deeply where they should not be buried.
Well, yeah, you can't rush things. I think, for instance, you know, they tried to rush with autonomous cars and they kept running over things and people and bicycles. And mm-hmm. part of the problem is not necessarily their logic. The part of the problem is people's unpredictability, I think. And now the most recent, and it also has to do with cars, is this whole jump to electric cars. And I understand why they want to do it. The science isn't there yet. And we're not ready for that jump yet. You know, what they needed to do was go to the hybrid to alleviate part of that, then work to, when the batteries are right, that don't take all them, the mining and all the things that need to do like that to make the batteries. Your whole car becomes a battery, and better ways to charge it. I mean, you can't hardly do a cross-country trip in that thing because it only gives you so many miles, and you got to stop and plan for it and plan to be out at least 2 hours at a time, you know?
And the whole thing with science in general, you know, I think we don't know quite as much as we think we do. There's an excellent rant of George Carlin's that I absolutely espouse his take. And I don't know that he was being comical. I think he was just on a rant about just different things, and we're not. Let's figure out the stuff we should be figuring out. Like how to get along.
Yeah.
People, you know?
George Carlin. Yeah, nobody deserved the Mark Twain Award more than him, because he was today's, even though he's not with us anymore, he was your and my observationist. Will Rogers was in the 30s and 40s for us. He went from being a stand-up comic to really an observationalist. That was still funny, but it was still, he was observing us at our best and at our worst, and spilling it out for everybody.
Yeah. And again, that type of humor exemplifies, which I think is absolutely tragic, that there's an abundance of intelligence and a dire lack of wisdom, in my opinion, in the world today. I don't like getting serious here on Erie House, but
right,
it, you know what I mean? There's abundance of intelligence and still precious little wisdom.
Yes. There is a big difference. There is a big difference between intelligence and wisdom.
Huge.
As they say, that good judgment comes from poor judgment. something like that?
Yes.
You know what? I was watching an episode that's kind of stuck with me, see if I can get this right, of Commish. Remember Michael Chiklis, his first big, I think, starring role was as the Commish. It was on ABC. He was explaining to his son, he said, there are dumb people and there are smart people and there are wise people. The dumb people don't learn from their mistakes. The smart people do learn from their mistakes, and the wise people learn from other people's mistakes.
Yeah.
I never forgot that. I just always thought that was such a cool explanation of a difference between dumb, smart, and wise.
That's a good observation. Again, observationalism is good stuff. And learning from other mistakes is another great example of being observant.
Yes.
I was at a sales meeting once, and this guy, one of the managers, it was a crazy office. People could blurt out anything. It was so non-PC. In any event, the sales manager yelled over at a buddy of mine. He says, don't listen to that guy. He's an idiot. I says, why? You can learn a lot from an idiot. Now, this was this crazy Italian owner, and he got ticked off, and he says, shut up. So all day long, I decided to tease him. I kept passing this guy's office. I says, you can learn a lot from an idiot. And he'd get mad, you know, and so one day, or later in the day, when I stopped in for the last time, I said, you can learn a lot from an idiot. He says, come in here and close the door. He goes, what the hell can you learn from an idiot? My response was, you can learn precisely what not to do, like argue with me. He's such a fuming. He was fuming, and he goes, you're right. Get out. Yeah. I mean, I hit him on so many fronts. It was like, he wanted to explode and whatever, but then he just said, you're right. Get out of my office. Oh, it felt so good. I remember it fondly. Too bad that fella came to a bad end, though. I don't want to get into it. Very sad thing. But that was long ago and far away in the wild 90s.
Long ago and
90s.
Far away. Yeah.
But that was a couple, several jobs ago. I feel like Gar, several jobs ago.
Yeah. Maybe we should get out of the way here and leave room for Gar. How's
Let
that?
Us do that in respect for our dear friend, our dear brother. We'll just get the old man with the big nose out here.
That's it. Do that.
Get him plunking the piano. Good night, Barbara.
Adios.
Adios, muchachos, compañeros,
and you get out of here.
Okay.
Do you mind signing off the radio?